Welcome back to the Footy LG Pod. I'm here as always with my co-host Tony, and we're both happy because TFC did not lose their opening game of the year. Tony, how good does it feel?
Very, very surprising, honestly. I mean, we're going to get into more later on, but good start. I have to admit it.
Yeah, you know what, guys? We're not even going to really touch on Europe today. We got a few fun things at the beginning, and then we're going straight into TFC the rest of the way. After all, this did start as a Toronto FC podcast, so we're going to be going hard into them today. But Tony, I did want to start with something different.
Okay.
Now, I know people who've listened to the show for a while know that you're a big fan of conspiracy theories. I have a list of 8 here from the footy world, and I want you to say, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not believable at all, 10 being super believable conspiracy theory, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so the first one is that the 2019-2020 Liverpool team were doping. Reportedly, 63% of their squad is listed as having asthma to hide their PED use. Do you believe that? 1 to 10.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah?
100%. Because that's why you think Klopp's leaving Liverpool now?
Oh, here we
this
go.
Year, bro. 100%. I believe it. I believe it because it's an easy way to hide it, right?
Right. It's with asthma.
And they played so good. So
you're telling me 63? You're 63% of their team has asthma. Come on now.
Yeah, like you're telling me none of them are like, we got too many guys with asthma on this team. Because I remember when we were younger playing soccer. A kid with asthma, you're like, oh fuck, this guy's on the team.
Yeah, it was awful.
You know, so.
Okay, so that one's a 10.
Yeah, 100%.
10. Okay, next one. The Man City versus QPR match that was for City to win the league was rigged. QPR stopped trying and even kicked the ball out instantly from kickoff after City's second and third goal. Is QPR throwing that game at the end for Man City on experience? Well, what do you think? 1 to 10.
I put it a 7.
Yeah?
Because they literally had to leave it to the last minute.
It was like right at the end. Yeah, you know what
like
I mean?
Like it was literally insane. It was a nice shot by a girl that had to win it. I think they were more wasting time, but I don't think they wanted to help City.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. Okay, a 7. I'll take that. Next one. Zaha was banging Moyes' daughter, and that's why it didn't work out at United for Zaha.
I'm going to put a 5.
Really?
I think Zaha had too much competition at the time at Man U. And as a striker,
he's a baller.
He is, but I think at the time Berbatov was one of the best Premier League strikers of the time. So
yeah, but only giving him 2 games and things like that. Like you don't think there could have been something else behind closed doors?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm gonna give that 1 of 5. I just think he was. I think maybe he was. Maybe he was, but I mean, nah. I don't think that's why he left.
Right, fair enough.
Why he's pushed out.
Next one we got, Steven Gerrard was forced to stay at Liverpool in 2005 after receiving threats from some prominent local gangsters.
I'm going to give that one a 9 because it's not the first time I've heard something like that. I read, like, just because it's crazy how many times it's happened, but even like Pele, back in before he signed New York Cosmos, he actually had to deal with Inter and gangsters in Brazil burnt down the Santos headquarters to make sure he wouldn't leave. I could see that happening. That's very, especially in Liverpool, who are a city that's known for that kind of thing. So
the Scousers. Okay. Yeah. All right. The next one is, I don't know if you remember what Lasagna Gate was, but this was when the entire Spurs team got food poisoning before a deciding Champions League qualifying game. The conspiracy is that it was an Arsenal or a West Ham fan was the one behind Lasagna Gate, and it was intentional.
I'm going to give it a 3, but that's hilarious if it was. I mean, Tottenham's just shit, so.
Okay, fair enough. This next one doesn't sit too well with me. It's that Fergie's success is through bribes and pressuring refs into winning more games in quote-unquote Fergie time.
7 on this one as well.
You know what? It hurts
because
when you see a guy that gets a lot of those wins right at the end, like it's a little that's just happened. You know what I mean?
I do. Like I know when Fergie, especially like early 2000s, I'd say like 2003 to 2007. From myself, at least, watching the Prem and everything like that, I do always remember Man, you always having the perfect amount of injury time when they were losing. So I can see it. I mean, because I mean, look at the case of like even like Juventus, right? It's so easily it can happen so easily. Like people just take the bribe. So yeah, I'll give it a 7 on that one.
Okay, and these last two, I think you're gonna give both high marks because we spoke about them before. But Romelu Lukaku and Alvaro Morata are just chips in an international money laundering scheme to save clubs from bankruptcy. These guys are the ones that just keep going for so much money back and forth to different teams, and it's like they're not worth it at all, right?
Especially Morata, because Morata's been jumping back and forth between Juve and Atletico Madrid how many times? So I'll give that one a 10.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
It's so easy to do it that way, right? Like, I mean, there's others, you know, like Pjanic and Arthur too, right? Like, how those deals go through.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's a little sketchy the way it works. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so there's that. And the last one I know is a 10 for you is that the 2022 World Cup was rigged so that Messi could win on his final attempt and give more attention to Saudi football.
I don't agree with the Saudi football because it's in Qatar. That one never made sense to me when I heard that, but yeah, it 100% was right. We've gone over 100 times on this show. So
yeah, I hear you, man. Those are just a few that I found online that I
actually saw that post when you. I've seen that one, but yeah, it makes you think for a lot of them, right? So
yeah, definitely does. So there's that. Why don't we get into a little top bins, trash bins before we get to TFC?
All right, so starting off, we're going to start off with Leo Messi. Obviously, he's in the controversy, but not for anything he did wrong. So there's a lot of people ripping on the people that set up the Inter Miami LA Galaxy game as Kim Kardashian and Kanye West's son, Saint West, walked out with Messi. And a lot of fans voiced their anger against it. Top bins, trash bins. Messi walking out with Saint West.
I mean, the big story from that game was the fact that LA Galaxy got absolutely fucking robbed. Yeah. I'm not. And then for like, as far as the Kanye West kid thing, they need to worry more about the dad doing whatever the fuck he's doing on the internet today, because he's got some weird shit going on his stories to figure out. So I don't know. You know, it's top is trash bins. I don't care. You know what I mean? That's a stupid thing. What kid walks out with persons?
Yeah.
It's not my team. I don't care. It makes no difference to me. Just another thing that a rich kid's getting the pleasure of doing.
For me, it's trash bins because why are you ripping on the kid? You know what I mean? Like, he probably just asked his mom and his dad, hey, can I walk out with Messi? And they set it up like any other parent would have done for their child, right? So,
yeah.
It is trash bins on the fans for making a big deal about, because who gives a shit?
Well, Inter Miami fans don't exist. You know what I mean? They're a bunch of trash bags that all converted as soon as Messi joined.
Exactly. So that's the first one. So the second one, in the Conference League, League of Warsaw fans were banned from their section from UEFA due to things they were saying and things they were showing during the game. And in their game last week, their supporter section was completely empty as per the ban. And then... as kickoff began, the section that's facing the camera, which is pretty much just the opposite side, which is center field there pretty much, revealed a tifo with a guy with a Lego character with glasses saying, surprise, motherfuckers, as the League of Warsaw fans just moved out of their own section into the center field section. Top bins, trash bins.
So at first I wanted to say 100% top bins. That's hilarious. But I don't know why they got banned, because it could have been for some racist shit or something like that. I don't want to give them top bins for that, just if it cases something like that. But it's a funny move. You know what I mean?
It's a stupid thing on UEFA to even do. And I get why they did it, but it's like, you know, it wasn't going to stop them.
Exactly.
So there's that one there. And the final one. So Amazon Prime has their show following Arsenal this season, and in their latest episode, it featured Jorginho and his girlfriend, and obviously he hasn't proposed to her yet, but his girlfriend, and during the scene, says that she's gonna leave her ring finger free as she's putting her jewelry on, just in case he has other ideas, and Jorginho straight up says, it's gonna stay free. Topman Strashman's.
Well, she asked him. She said, she goes like,
you're not gonna propose to me tonight.
Yeah, you're not gonna propose, right? So I can wear this this ring type thing like that. Yeah, you look pissed. I think since then they have gotten engaged.
Yeah, I believe so. But
right there, you know, Jorginho to me has always been like, is he really Italian? Like, that guy's not Italian. He's South American. But then you see a thing like that, buddy, that's like the most Italian reaction of all time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's gonna stay free.
That's such an Italian reaction. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. So that's it for that. So
then let's get into the big game, baby. News. Supporters Shield winners versus the Wooden Spoon winners. Best in the league last year versus worst in the league. Tony, you called a victory for TFC, which was super bold. I called a 2-2 draw. No goals were scored, but the draw came in. Give me your first overall thoughts of the first game of the John Herdman era officially. I don't count those last games last year. This is the first official game in the Herdman era. Give me your thoughts.
He's got this team cooking. I think it's very the way we played. I think we mentioned many times last year, especially under Bob Bradley, that TFC were not able to hold their shape. They had holes in every area of the field. Didn't matter where we looked at, whether offense, defense, it was always a gap that teams could just penetrate and just kill us with. This game here, I mean, you talk about FC Cincinnati last year. They started the season 13 wins in a row. So this is a team that knows how to win. They know how to push. They could not get anything going against this TFC team. And that was what impressed me the most, is just how much TFC was able to just keep the pressure on Cincinnati while also attacking with this formation. So he's cooking something here.
And let's get something off of the bat early. This wasn't the Cincinnati team of last year that won the Supporters Shield. Even though their MVP is still there, in my opinion, their best player is now on Monterrey, I believe. Vasquez.
So
he's not there. But it's still a very good team, and we're going into Cincinnati to play this game. Now, I don't want to say, you know what, this is completely changed the way we look at TFC. They have an excellent year. There's still a lot to build on. I mean, there's still a lot of issues. But first and foremost, what impressed me the most was, A, the effort from 90% of the team. Obviously, I got to say that I don't think Insigne put in the best showing in a lot of effort, but he is coming back from an injury, so I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt there. Bernadeschi, when I saw that he was lined up as wingback, I thought, oh, fuck, this is it. He's going to absolutely dog it and just be pissed. He put in a hell of a performance, in my opinion.
He played both sides really well.
I was really impressed with what I saw from him. Herdman had him going. So if that's their plan and he's buying in, then I'm cool with it. That back line. I don't think this is I know me and Tony, we've argued about this, what the back line looks like moving forward. I think what was it, two or three other center backs we brought in last week that could potentially play for that O'Neal spot. I don't know if O'Neal's the guy. I think Long in the middle.
He played really well, though.
They played okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. Again, there was a lot of errors in that defensive line, but when the errors happened, the cover came in, which is what you mean. Last year, we weren't getting that.
And the biggest thing, Kevin Long, right? Kevin, he just came like 2 days before to the team. Yeah.
Well, look at half our players. Yeah. Long was just signed like the week before. Larea was what, 2 days before?
Yeah, but Larea's already had, he's played under Herdman. He's played with a lot of these players.
Still impressive.
Yeah, as a fitness-wise, it was impressive, but technical-wise, he knows most of these guys, right? So. But for Long, I think that's a big step coming back into center back to a team that, you know, what do we have, like two clean sheets all of last year?
Not many.
So for your debut to keep a clean sheet, and he played really well. Like you said, the coverage, the headers, like every corner, this guy was hitting them out. Like, it was a very good performance. But what about Debbie Flores?
Well, let's stick with the back line for now before we move in. But like you were saying with Long, that's the biggest thing is when there was a mistake, and O'Neal made some, Long made some, even Flores on his way back, they made some issues, but there was always coverage, which is what we didn't have last year. And the other thing we didn't have last year, a goalkeeper who could make saves. And we had Sean Johnson last year for a bit, and honestly, I was hypercritical of him last year because he sucked when he started out for us until he got hurt. He was not good. And this game, it looked like the Sean Johnson of New York City FC.
Yeah, it did.
He was
the few chances Cincinnati had, he really made sure to hold them back.
And was he controlling that back line the way it should be too? Like, that you can't underestimate these things, right? Like, he looked so good, and he would have been the MVP for this game for me if it was not for Debbie Flores.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a game. I was not expecting this.
Like, either did I. I was kind of worried. I mean, he was, you know, came from where he was playing before, but wasn't anything special.
Well, and he's played in MLS for the White Caps. He has, great. Right?
But it was, I mean, what I like the most about him is that he read the play so well. Like, there were moments where Shane O'Neill would go up and he stepped back. Unlike when Michael Bradley or other the younger guys he used to have in that position would just keep running up and then we get caught off guard. Yeah. He stayed back. Minute we lost the ball, if Osorio made a mistake and Sidney made a mistake, Flores was right on the guy. Like, the pressure that he put in that position as a deep line midfielder won me over right away because it was just a fantastic game from him.
Let's also like call a spade though. He did make some mistakes.
Which happens.
But the mistakes he made, in my opinion anyways, were good mistakes to make. He was hungry for that ball. He was trying to. He's like a bulldog in that midfield. You know what I mean? Like a Steven Azevedo of sorts.
Just kidding.
And he was able to go hard at every ball to try and get the ball back. He's coming back on defense. He's going up. He's what you want from a defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
If he brings that energy every game, first of all, we're going to be the scariest team to play against when you got a guy like Flores in the middle and Richie Larea coming off the side. We're going to break the record for most yellow cards. I mean, we had four, I think, this past game. Surprisingly, none from Flores or Larea.
Five games.
Was it
five yellows?
Was it five yellows?
Oh, sorry, no, sorry, no, four. Sorry,
so it's like it's hilarious to see that, but this team's gonna be scary to play against with those two guys there, and I'm really excited, and I hope that energy stays. And if that stays, Flores will be a mainstay in the lineup.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I don't see anyone right now on that bench that can start over him.
No,
there's no one. Nobody can jump in ahead of him right now.
The only person that even plays that position, I think, I could be wrong, is Latif Blessing. Would be that defensive midfielder role. He's not bad, don't get me wrong, but
he's not doing that.
No.
I mean, Flores really kept Acosta down.
Yeah.
That was the big thing. And when he couldn't, Shane O'Neill, that's what I like, because Shane O'Neill was reading a lot of those times where Flores was busy doing something else and he would grab Acosta right away.
It was crazy to me, you know, in this formation when you have a back three and wing backs and stuff, you know, sometimes you have some guys sit back and the defenders go up. But seeing Shane O'Neill involved with the attack at some points, I was like, what the fuck?
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't. Don't get me wrong.
It wasn't horrible. Like, I'm not going to lie. I was actually kind of impressed when he linked up with Bernadeschi a couple of times in that first half.
I had to double check that it was Shane O'Neill there. I was like, who is that guy? I was like, is that Herdman? What the hell is this? Like, it was very confusing.
He did really, like, I mean, I know, I think he did well. He really kept that Bernadeschi. He covered Bernadeschi well. It's, like I said, when I saw the lineup, I was a little surprised how they were going to go with it. But I think, you know, in history, TFC has always been better with the back three.
Yeah.
And I mean, if Bernadeschi can continue to buy in as that wing back, I mean, it's a lineup that can work really well.
Yeah, I mean, it was impressive there, and like I said too, we have some more resources coming in, and that Nick Sowen, I honestly don't know if that's even how you pronounce it right, Nick Sowen Gomez, French defender, could be a decent signing there in the back. Also the homegrown player, Adam Perlman. Like, we have some more defenders coming in that we can see kind of maybe what works. And really off the bench, Rosted didn't look bad.
Shaquille Marcherotti's coming off the bench too. And he played well too when he came in. He actually gave us a bit of a spark on that left side after when he came in for Insignia.
But you know what bothers me about JMR? He does look so good at times, but he doesn't have a final move. You see him make these moves and he goes into the box and goes to cross it and it flubs like 3 meters in front of him. Or he goes and tries to shoot it and it's like 20 feet wide of the net. I don't know where that final touch is. If he could find that, he'll be so lethal, man.
Oh, yeah. But I agree with that.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see if he can kind of find himself. He's still very young.
He's 19 now, I believe.
And we've been talking about it for what seems like forever because he's been with us since he was 16, right? So So he's still 19 years old. He's still finding his way. But you know what? Not all was good. We still don't have a true number nine. Owusu.
Well, it looks like we have a President's Choice version of Lukaku out there stopping our shots.
Lukaku, Owusu, you know, it all sounds the same. And also, man, he pissed a lot of people off because he's wearing 99.
Oh, yeah, they did not waste time with Diamande.
No.
Hey, you're gone. Boom, another that guy.
No, like, it was too funny seeing that. He was not good, though.
He did not.
To be fair, too, Akinola's not a better option either.
No, either. Both of them, I mean, like, for the first half, there was a lot of opportunities where Insigne, Osorio, and Bernardeschi found Prince, and he couldn't do anything.
Yeah,
he was just sloppy. I think the only thing that benefited him was that he was a big guy on the corner kicks. He helped clear a couple of corners.
Yeah,
but I mean, his positioning, was horrible. I mean, even the you know, that play at the end where Insigne, the ball was going in, and you fall right on top of the ball.
Yeah,
it's like, buddy, like, what are you doing?
Now that would have, I don't know if that was going in. Either way, it was a bad look for him. I mean, mm-hmm. But again, Akinola, when he came in, he didn't look much better.
Akinola decided to turn it that he thought he was Ronaldo and decided he can dribble a lot. I love Akinola, don't get me wrong, but he's not a dribbler. He's not a striker that can dribble.
No.
He's a poacher in the box, and that's it.
So then, I guess we'll get into this in the future when we're talking about the next game coming up, but do we just give the next one, you know, next man up, give Cassius Malula a try?
You have to, because this clearly didn't work. In a game where everything else pretty much was settled that this can work, the striker position was the only one where it was like, no.
Yeah, it's true. So we'll talk about that more.
They still got DeAndre Kerr as well there, right?
So who's hurt? When he comes back, I think you have to put Kerr in that spot when he comes back. He was our high scorer last year. Like, you have to put mm-hmm. him there, right? So we'll hopefully see him back soon. Who knows if it's this weekend. Why don't we go through a little player ratings for TFC? Mm-hmm. We won't do the guys that came off the bench because, you know, it's hard to kind of gauge, especially in a 0-0 draw, how good you do in that little time. So let's go through each player starting from the back line. 0 through 10, you know how player rankings work. Sean Johnson.
I'll give him a 9.
9's a very good grade to give out, but yeah. you're right.
He played really well.
Yeah, it's hard to...
I mean, he made team of the week.
Team of the week on the bench.
Stupid, because Messi made team of the week.
Of course he did.
But yeah, I would give him a 9.
Yeah, that's fair. I would agree. You know, he's in that area for sure. I know people don't like giving 9s and stuff like that. I don't give a shit. He played big for us. That's a 9 in my book. Next up, we got Kevin Long in his debut.
Kevin Long, I would go with... I have to go like a 7.8.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's kind of where I'm at too. You know,
like he was an 8, high 7, did really well.
High 7, low 8 in his debut. He came on, he did what he needed to do. He had some mistakes. He was shaky a little bit in some plays, but he did nice. Next up, Shane O'Neill.
I give him a 7 as well.
Just straight 7?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying Long was better?
Yeah, Long was better. Long was what kept Petretta and O'Neill from looking worse. He really did, like you said, the Drew Moore effect, he complimented both those guys.
Yeah, I'll give O'Neill as well with you. I'll give him a bit higher. I give him a 7.2 because I think some of the stuff he did in offense was nice and everything like that. But yeah, I think that's an accurate rant for him. What about Petretta? Raul Petretta.
I'd give him a 6.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know,
it wasn't bad, but he did make a few mistakes. So I'll give him a 6 on that one.
He wasn't good. Let's put it that way. He was probably, outside of our striker, the weakest part of our team that game, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give him a 6 as well. Let's move up next to the wing backs. We'll start with Richie Larea, who in his first game back, by the way, I don't think we've had a penalty kick in the past like 15 games, and in the first 5 minutes of the game, he almost had one for us. Like, this guy, the way he does that is just so incredible.
Yeah, he's. I'm really happy that he got brought in. I was so happy to see him and, you know, like Insigne and Bernard actually all getting along. Like, I'm happy about that. Yeah. But I'll give Richie Larea 8 as well, because he really did dominate that side when he was in there.
You know what? It's his first game back. I mean, he came back so quick. The day before, Herdman was saying he'll be in the roster, but I can't guarantee he plays. Not only did he not come off the bench, he started and put in a great performance. Obviously, he had some rust on him, but he looked fantastic. I'm going to give him a 7.7. I don't want to give him higher than a Long because I think Long was a bit better, but that was a solid performance by Richie Larea. I'm moving on to the other wing back, Federico Bernardeschi.
I do like 7.7 on this one as well.
Ooh, okay.
I think there's a few times where he could have done better, but I mean, first game of season, that's fine. But I mean, he's still new position. He did well.
Yeah. I'm giving him an 8. I think I was absolutely in awe of his effort that he put in. He had a few chances on goal that, you know, maybe they could have been a bit better, but some of them were as best as they could get. He was the only one really creating for us, in my opinion, on the offensive end. He looked really good. I'm giving him an 8. If we see this every year, if we see this every week, he could be in for a very special season in the MLS.
Oh, for sure.
Moving on to our CDM, Davey Flores. We've already sung his praises. Man of the match for me anyways. Tony, I don't know about you. What do you
think? I give him 9 as well.
Yeah, 9. Yeah, I think that's...
You know, it's not easy to come in, debut with a shitty team, essentially, and put in a performance like that where... I can't think of too many players that had debuts like that, you know, for TA. I mean, Defoe had 2 goals in his debut, sure, but I mean, this was a really good performance in the position that we struggled for over the last few years. So,
yeah, it was a big area of need for us. They brought in Flores as hopefully to fill that need, and I think he's done it in a great job. I too will give him a 9. I was super impressed with what he did. And for everyone that's going, oh, you guys are giving these guys too high of grades for a team that finished 0, that game that finished 0-0. Fuck off. We're happy that we had a decent result. We haven't had many of these over the past.
If we had a striker in that position, we would have won this game.
Yeah, I agree. But moving on, Coelho. I know you're very high on this kid.
I'm going to give it 6.8.
Okay.
I don't know if he was injured or not, but I kind of was hoping he would have played the full game. I think he did well. He complimented Flores and Osorio very well. And I think this is one of those young talents I think Herdman will be able to develop well. So
I think that's a fair grade. I'll give the same as, what did you say, 6.7?
6.8.
I'll stick with that as well. I think he had a solid, decent game. Ended a bit early. He's got promise. You know, seeing him, he's got promise for sure.
Kosi Thompson doesn't push him out of the lineup at all.
I don't
unless Kosi starts scoring goals like no tomorrow. I think Coelho, that's your center mid there with Flores.
Yeah. Next up, our new captain, Jonathan Osorio.
I'm gonna give him a 7.7 as well. Yeah. I like him in this offensive position. I liked how much he was yelling and putting the team on notice, especially like our corner kicks, free kicks, and throughout the play. It was very nice to see. Just the way he was just pushing the team. And, I mean, a yellow card right off the bat to start and still finishing the game, fantastic performance for him.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a 7.5. The only reason I'm docking him a bit is because, you know, as the captain, your team needs to know the rules. If something happens that reflects that bad, it looks bad on the captain. And it was announced, I believe, yesterday or today that Toronto FC...
Oh, that's so stupid.
Bernardeschi, Insigne, and Larea were fined an undisclosed amount for inciting and or escalating a mass confrontation, even though Osorio tried to throw Larea out of the way. And the disciplinary committee found Toronto in violation as well, so a warning was issued to both club and Herdman. Again, whether it's stupid or not, it's the rules of the rules. Osorio as the captain needs to make his team fall in line, but I also do think he did a great job leading that team.
It's not an easy thing to getting a senior Bernardeschi and Richie Larea to stop yelling at the ref.
No, it's good luck. Good luck to him, but that's his job now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's his job, so he's got to do it. But I think he did a good job leading the team and helping people back up and tracking back and going forward. So I'm fine with a 7.5. What do you give Lorenzo Insigne?
I'll give him a 6 as well. I think he had his moment. He did do very well in certain aspects, but he does need to step up and be a little even better. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he didn't play the full game and he was obviously coming off an injury, but you know, the way everyone else was playing, he needs to get up to the next level too. So
if this was any other player, I would probably give him the same 6, 6.5. because it's the most expensive, one of the most expensive players in the league, the most expensive player on our team, supposed to be the biggest guy ever, I got to drop it a bit more. I'm giving him a 5.9. The effort just wasn't there. Whether it's because he's healthy or not, it's the issue. I don't know. Again, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt moving forward. You know how harsh I was on him last season. Mm-hmm. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt for this game. It's whatever. It was not a good game by his standards. It wasn't even an okay game by his standards. He could have been a lot better. He had a lot of bad touches. He had a lot of bad movements, and he wasn't giving it a good enough effort for me to say, okay, you know, he deserves a 6. I'm giving him a 5.9. It's not the lowest I've given so far. It won't be until the next guy, obviously, but we need to see more out of him. And you know what it is? It is an effort issue. He has all the talent in the world. We know that. He just needs to go forward and actually try. And maybe it's because he's not feeling fully fit. I don't know. I know Herdman said we're going to have to manage his minutes this year when he talked about like away games and things like that. Again, he's only 32 years old. He shouldn't need these minutes managed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's more the turf shit. Because that turf, once you have a knee injury, the turf always gets you.
Yeah,
you know, that's sure. I think it's most – I think it's anything with age. I think it's more just the risk factor of running on that turf all the time, so
yeah it could be
like Herdman said, he's gonna be playing full games in Toronto.
Well, he fucking better be, is all I gotta say, because he's the most expensive player on our team, and like we could be getting a lot more if we had that salary to push around. So he needs to start showing up and putting in his effort. He puts in even 75% that game. I know you said with any striker we win. I think Insignia puts in any solid effort we win that game too.
I still think he had a lot of good chances
that he did nothing with.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean? Like, he did nothing with those chances, and the only reason he was in those chances, he got the ball in a good spot, and then they just went away. I don't know. I just don't see the effort there from him, and that's what I need to see. But again, like I said, I will give him the benefit of the doubt. We'll see how this year goes before I start harping on him even more. But now let's get to the final guy for the ratings, Prince Owusu. What do you give him?
I give him a 3. Just because in the first half, on a couple, like, he had a lot of good clearance off the corners and stuff. So, and that's something we struggled with last year, clearing, you know, I don't know how many goals people got off corners on us. So as much as I want to give him lower, that aspect of the game, it does make a difference. So I'll give him 3 for that.
Yeah, that's fair. I won't be that harsh on him. I'll give him a 4. He was not good by any means, but he put out a performance. We'll see if he gets to try again over the next few weeks. Because like we said, with Kerr coming back, my Lula still on the bench, you know, anything could happen with that number 9 role. They might give Akinola another chance. Who knows, right? I'm most excited about Kerr. I think what we saw last year from him was unreal. This Cash is my Lula kid, too. I'm a little bit interested in, because I don't know anything about him. He was a South African kid who's 22 years old, who scored 9 goals in 18 games in his team in South Africa, and we wiped them up. So, you know what? Who knows what this kid could do? I might say let's give him a chance, too. We'll see. It's going to be tough moving forward. And with moving forward in mind, let's get to the game up this Sunday, which, again, for some reason, Toronto FC is playing those Sunday matinees every week now, which I'm not upset about. A nice Sunday 2 o'clock game is lovely for me. But New England, Toronto FC, initial thoughts. Again, before we get into it, let's get into the betting odds. Toronto is a plus 350 underdog. So, again, a heavy, heavy underdog for Toronto FC. Do they have a chance this weekend?
You know, I'd like to say that New England's coming off a big loss from DC, but reality was they're 10 against 11 for majority of that game, as Veroni got 2 yellows within 13 minutes and 25 minutes at the beginning of the game, so which led to Benteke scoring a hat trick. Honestly, I do think we have a chance because, I mean, if we play like we did in the shape, when a team learns their shape and they learn the flow of the game to play with each other, those are the toughest teams to beat. Those are the teams that will control the game, the narrative, everything. And it's something that in MLS you don't see very much. You see it a lot more in the Prem and Serie A and obviously all in Europe. But it's hard to defend when a whole team can play. You know, that's especially like when TFC won, that's what they had. They had a flow going through them from back to top to bottom. So I think the TFC is going to be still underrated, but I still think they can still get some wins over here.
Yeah, I mean, this is a New England team that lost in a friendly before the season started to Cincinnati 5-2, right? So it's and they come off a loss against New DC, like you said, and they have a very important game tomorrow against Independiente in the Champions Cup. They're up 1-0. Really? They're up 1-0. They're back home, but they have to hold that lead to make it through to the next round, right? So the big game, they're going to be going hard, and then they're only going to have 2.5 days rest before they take on Toronto. So that's another thing there for to Toronto's advantage. They'll be rested. New England might not be. So yeah, I do think that Toronto has a real chance in this game. Tony, I'm saying we start something for this year. We start a little battle between me and you, who can a predicting battle. So I got the tie the first game. That's 1 point. 1 point if you guess the result right. 3 points if you guess the result right and get the score perfect. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you say tie and it's a tie, you get a point. If you say a 2-2 tie and it ends a 2-2 tie, you get 3 points.
Okay.
Yeah? So what yeah, sure. What is your call for this game on Sunday, New England-Toronto?
I need a 2-0 TFC.
Okay, another TFC win. I think, you know what, because it's the start of the season, I don't think it's going to go the same way it did the few years ago when they were Thai FC. But I think Thai FC sticks around for another match on the road and then comes home and gets their first big win at BMO Field. So I'm going to say a 1-1 draw against New England. Not a bad result. You're going into New England getting any points. I'll take at this point when you're TFC, when points were very hard to come by last year. Mm-hmm. But I'll take the 1-1 draw with and you know what? I'll even call it, just because it doesn't go my way, I'll call a Lorenzo Insigne goal if he plays. Penalty kick set up by a Richie Larea running to the ball.
It's true, because that's another turf field that they're going to be playing on. Yeah, so
if he plays, then we'll see if that happens. But
I don't know. Yeah. Just this team, he hurt. You know what? As much as you know, I'm one of the biggest Herdman haters, but to see it actually happen in live, it was good. It was a good start to his era, because from where we were last year to do that was very, very impressive. So.
Yeah, and hey, listen, it's exciting. It's, you know what? It's for the first time in a little while, it's exciting to be a Toronto FC fan again. So very excited for this game on Sunday. And then, you know what, guys? Come back here next Thursday, because we're going to be going over the big home opener down at BMO Field. That's going to be on March 9th, Saturday. You know what? And I think they listened to us, Tony, because remember last year, the first few games in March at home were at like 8 o'clock at night. And fucking freezing our faces. Your brother got windburn. His face looked like he was freaking red. He painted a Sharpie red on his face. He was so burned. But this game's at 2 o'clock, Saturday, March 9th, against Charlotte. We'll both be down there at the game. So make sure you're listening to us next week to hear us preview that, and then the following week to hear us the review from the first big game at BMO. And guys, that's us, Footy LG, Spotify, or Apple Music, everywhere you find your podcasts. And also make sure to follow us on TikTok and IG at Footy LG. Tony, I think that's it, man. You know, let's end here.
And we'll on a good back note with TFC. And it's been a long time.
This never happens, ending on good notes when we're talking about TFC. So let's enjoy it while we can. Yeah. Have a good night, everyone. We'll be back here next Thursday. Take it easy.